Our younger daughter, Lindsay, is going to be 35 years old this month, May 17th. When she was 6 years old, about this time in May, she came to me and she said, "I want to play ball." And I said, "Okay, we'll find a softball team for you to play on." She said, "No, I want to play real ball." You see, we'd been watching together the Cincinnati Reds, my favorite team. I know most of you are Atlanta fans. Someday they'll have a team again. But she wanted to play baseball. And I said, "Well, I don't know if you can." So we went up to the community center and we found 90 some odd kids signing up. And I said, "Can she play?" And they said, "She?" And I said, "Yeah, can she sign up?" "Well, we'll see what she can do." So we signed up and were told when the practices would be, how the teams would be formed. And we had a great guy named Perry Whitaker who said she would be on his team. He would make that happen. Well, when we got home, she said, "Now I need to learn how to play." She already had some ability, but we began to work. There was a field next to our house in Bluntville, and we would go over there every day. And we would have to be called in for dinner. She stayed with it every day, all day, on Saturdays and when school was out, every day from the time school was out till we had to go in. She began to be able to feel the ball. She began to be able to hit the ball. She understood the game. And she made the team. The only girl on the team. And she made it. She was remarkable for a six-year-old. She played for 6 years. And she was remarkable. She loves baseball. But it's that remarkable thing that happens. We're so into the stereotypical stuff, aren't we? Now, I'm not sure that there's anybody that expects that a woman somewhere, somehow, is going to make a Major League Baseball team. But why not? You see, that's the thing that we hear in this passage from Proverbs. Not that this was just a good mother. On this Mother's Day, we want to look at that. We want to celebrate that. But we also want to celebrate the fact that God calls everyone to do things in God's kingdom and through God's church. And so we hear of this woman in Proverbs whose children rise up, and I love the older version, rise up and call her blessed. And her husband sings her praises, and let her handiworks be praised in the city gates, because she does a good job at what she does. And that's what we need to look at more and more as we view women in our world. The Bible's full of them. Do you remember the name Deborah from Scripture? There was no judge in Israel who could defeat the enemy that was at the gate. God called Deborah to lead the armies and lead the people. Deborah. There was no other one. You've heard mentioned in our prayer this morning, Esther. You remember that story? She's the beautiful Esther who replaces Queen Vashti and Artaxerxes' court because Vashti is too independent for her own good. And there is Esther pulled out of the harem, the only Jew in the harem. No one knows she is. And it becomes known that a courtier of Artaxerxes named Haman wants to kill all the Jews. Uncle Mordecai goes to Esther and says, "You can stop this. You go to Artaxerxes." And she says, if I go, he'll have me killed because he has to summon you to appear before him. If I go without the summons, he'll kill me. Mordecai says he's going to kill you anyway when he finds out you're a Jew. And then he says those words, "For such a time as this, you have been called." A woman, Esther, and she reveals the plan of Haman, and it's Haman who dies on the gallows and not the Jews. There's so many. Paul is in a town that he doesn't know, and he doesn't know all the people, and he goes to the river to find some people to preach to, and he finds Lydia, who is a dealer in purple. She owns her own business. She's in charge of her household. We don't know how that happened in that day with the attitudes about women that existed then, but she seemed to have made it, and she hears his message and says, "I want to follow Jesus." And the church begins in her house. She invites Paul and his traveling companions to stay, that all might learn more of this faith in Jesus. She's in charge. There's Phoebe, the deacon. Paul sings her praises. She has done a remarkable job in the Roman church. Listen to Phoebe and her wisdom. A woman. Then there's Priscilla. You heard her mentioned earlier too. She's the wife of Aquila. They're traveling evangelists, and they must teach preaching because it's said of Apollos that he learned from them. Many think that Priscilla wrote the letter to the Hebrews because of its style and the way certain things were worded. Oh, by the way, her nickname is Prisca, and some of you are in that circle here. You're Prisca's partners, leaders in the church. This is what God is about. God calls not only men, but women to lead and to serve and to lead through serving. These are God's people, remarkable people who find their way to serve Him. John Wesley in the Methodist movement understood this. As early as 1770, he was involved with promoting the cause of certain women who were in leadership positions. Lady Huntington was a supporter of the Wesleyan movement, the Methodist movement. And it is said that she preached in the churches or the societies of the Methodists all across England. She was never ordained, but Wesley understood that she was a remarkable person with talent that had been given to her by God. The Methodist Church in America, the Methodist Episcopal Church, was formed in 1784. That first general conference was all men and all clergy. Now, it took a long time, but by 1954, the Methodist Church understood that women had a role in ministry, and ordination was opened to the women of the church. Our Episcopalian, Lutheran, United Church of Christ, and others also recognized that. And so in 1954, women were ordained, and now women serve as bishops in those denominations that have them, and as presidents of their denominations in those. Because everybody began to understand what God had always known. All people are called, all people might serve, all people might do the things that God would have them do. And so we have that few good women who have become the many. The many women who have served God and His church, along with the many men who have done the same. That's what the church is about. It's not a matter of simply division of labor. It's a matter of doing what you do best for God and His church, that the kingdom might be advanced in the world around us. Lindsay made the team. She played for 6 years. At the age of 12, they told her she couldn't play baseball anymore. So she went to find a softball team, and it was the most boring game on earth, she said. It's too slow. I don't like this game. But in her last year, she was able to do so much. She was changing positions. She had played first base. She had caught. But she wanted to play shortstop. And so she said, let me try shortstop. And the coach said, okay, go out there and I'll hit you a few. And so he hit her a grounder. And it hit off the heel of her glove, hit her chin, hit her nose, and came back into her open hand, throwing hand, and she threw to first base. And like all good baseball players, she took a little dirt and rubbed it on her. That cures everything. Just a little dirt. Don't limp. Just rub dirt on it. That's what we all were taught. Well, there was a little boy who also wanted to play. He got there and a grounder was hit to him and the ball took a bad hop and hit his shin and he collapsed. And you could hear his father all over the stadium. That girl didn't cry, don't you dare. That year, Lindsay's team won their division and their region. And people would say, not, she sure can play ball for a girl. No, they said, she can play ball. Deborah and Priscilla, Esther and Lydia, they could lead in the church not because they were women. And we don't need to be shocked that they could lead because they were women. They could serve and lead because they were called. And God blessed them. Just as He blesses us, even now. Let's pray. Oh God, we give You thanks for the few good women who have become so many, and for those few good men who too have grown. We pray that we might continue to hear Your call and to answer that call in our lives. In the name of Christ. Amen. In just a moment, we'll stand to sing Because He Lives, and that is the invitation to you to hear the call of God on your life, whether it's to be a part of the church here, whether it's to come to Christ in faith. Hear that call, whether it's to serve in the community or in the broader community that is the world around us. Hear that call. Answer that call. And the few good people will indeed become the many. Let us stand.